interesting.
Yes, okay, okay. I want to call to order the Joint Committee on Legislative Audits for June 13th, 2017. And thank you all for joining us today. And we're going to open an informational meeting on the presentation of the Secretary of State's audit regarding the Oregon Health Authority Automated Medicaid Eligibility Report Number 2017-09. So please come forward and bring whoever you need. Please introduce yourself for the record, and we're happy you're here, and thank you so much.
Co-Chair McLean, thank you for having us. I'm Teresa Furnish. I'm the IT Audit Manager over at the Secretary of State Audits Division. And we are here, as you said, to present on an audit report we did of Oregon Health Authority's automated eligibility system. And with me is Erica Ungern, who led the audit and who knows a lot more than I do, so I'm going to turn it over to her now.
So for the record, my name is Erica Ungern. I'm a principal auditor at the Oregon Secretary of State Audits Division. So good afternoon, Co-Chair McLean and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to present this overview of our IT audit of the Oregon Eligibility System, or known as the ONE system, and the Medicaid Management Information System, known as MMIS. So the Medicaid program provides health care coverage to over 1 million individuals in Oregon and is financed through joint federal and state funding. Total expenditures for Medicaid at the Oregon Health Authority and the Department of Human Services in fiscal year 2016 was over $9.3 billion total, which included $1.2 billion in state general funds. And our audit did not encompass all of these funds, but it gives an overview of the scope of the Medicaid program. So the ONE system was implemented in December 2015 and determines Medicaid eligibility for individuals based on the income requirements established by the Affordable Care Act. The ONE system is not the only system at OHA and DHS that determines Medicaid eligibility, but as of March 2017, it had determined eligibility for almost 70% of the Medicaid population in Oregon. MMIS enrolls eligible individuals in coordinated care organizations and makes payments to those organizations based on enrollment numbers, which is known as capitated payments. This audit was performed to help support the work of our financial auditors, and it focused on reviewing the information technology controls over these computer systems. Our audit objectives were to determine whether the ONE system appropriately determined Medicaid eligibility and to determine whether MMIS appropriately enrolls clients in CCOs and made accurate payments to those organizations. For ONE, the focus was on eligibility determinations completed by the system. For MMIS, we evaluated actions taken by the system based on information it had received from the various eligibility systems. And if eligibility information were incorrect, it would affect the overall accuracy of Medicaid, of MMIS processes and payments. So overall, the audit found that the ONE system appropriately determines Medicaid eligibility using the information that's been provided from applications, and that it appropriately transfers eligibility to MMIS. The audit also found that MMIS controls were sufficient to ensure clients were appropriately enrolled in CCOs, and that it makes appropriate payments based on the information from the eligibility systems. However, the audit identified that there are some weaknesses in input accuracy and in monitoring overrides within the ONE system. We evaluated 30 eligibility determinations in detail and found that 7 had manual input errors from the associated applications, representing 23% of those reviewed. So while eligibility was only affected in 3 of these cases, all 7 related to data elements that could have affected eligibility. Of the 3 where errors did affect eligibility, 2 of the clients would have been eligible, but under different benefit programs. And 1 was determined eligible when the client was not, in fact, eligible. And that was, again, based on input errors, not the system making a specific error. We also found that eligibility determinations could be manually overridden by workers. The volume of these overrides decreased significantly over the course of the audit and over time, but we found that OHA was not adequately monitoring these overrides to ensure they were performed for approved reasons or to ensure that required actions were taken to clear the override. We tested 72 overridden eligibility segments in detail, and while we found they were performed for approved reasons, caseworkers did not take proper action to clear 25 of them, which represented 35% of the ones we reviewed. When overrides are not cleared appropriately, certain automated processes are not performed on those records. For example, two of the 25 records where the overrides were not appropriately cleared were associated with individuals who should have had their eligibility automatically redetermined due to aging out of one program to another, but this action did not occur for these individuals. We did another test that also illustrated the effects of not clearing overrides appropriately. Requests for information are sent to Medicaid applicants if certain critical information is not verified when eligibility is being initially determined, such as Social Security number and income. If applicants do not respond to these RFIs in time, their benefits are supposed to automatically expire or in some cases never be activated to begin with. Our test of 75 RFIs found that 12 were not appropriately resolved for clients for clients still in override status. Though nine of the 12, so it's a little bit misleading potentially. We put this in our report as well. Nine of the errors of the 12 were from a higher risk population. So it's not, the percentage really can't be used to say how many RFIs might have been inappropriately resolved. So of the 12 clients that did not have their RFIs appropriately resolved, potentially inappropriate payments to CCOs totaling $18,902 from July 2016 to January 2017 were made based on when benefits should have ended based on expiration of the RFI. If they had... It's possible they would still have been deemed eligible if they had maybe turned in their RFI information later and then been redetermined. But in terms of the when it should have cut off, that was how we came up with those calculations.
Representative Nathanson has a question, if we could.
Yes.
Thank you. Very technical detail. So that takes into consideration the federal requirement of after a certain number of days, the eligibility's ceases, you know, it's not just immediate. There's one waiting period, then there's another waiting period. So your determination of what should have happened when takes into account all those federal time periods also.
Co-Chair McLean, Representative Nathanson, yes. Okay. We used the period not just from when it would have expired, but also when it would have actually been shut off in the system based on those waiting periods.
Okay. Thank you.
So that's RFIs. We also followed up on logical access findings from a prior audit of MMIS and found that some progress had been made, but further improvements were needed. So overall, we recommended that OHA management continue to develop strategies to evaluate and improve caseworker input accuracy. In particular, we recommended management consider implementing a review process for portions of input identified as having higher error rates and that negatively affect eligibility determination. We also recommended that they develop procedures to monitor overrides to ensure they are performed only for approved reasons and that needed subsequent actions on these cases are timely. To resolve prior audit findings for MMIS logical access, we recommended OHA and DHS management ensure system documentation is available to facilitate a granular review of permissions granted for each role and to ensure managers perform effective periodic reviews of access granted to their personnel. And for this report, the agency generally agreed with our recommendations, and I welcome any questions.
Senator Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So what you've identified is all user error. Is that correct?
Co-Chair McLean, Senator Riley, yes, that's correct.
Yes.
So data entry is a kind of a unique skill. And what's happening is we're using someone whose skills are in some other area, in this case, caseworkers, who aren't trained data entry operators, as we used to call them in the old days. So is it possible that the error rate is such that a real skilled data entry person could be useful and pay for themselves?
Co-chair Senator Riley, we didn't. It's possible. It's not. It wasn't part of anything we tried to evaluate for our audit. We did find that these are very long applications. They include a lot of information, and to a certain extent, even the first time I went through them, I didn't identify all of the errors. As I continued to review and get more familiar with it, that's when I identified some of the additional errors that were part of our findings. And it is rather complicated. Some of the errors can be associated with dates of when a person joins a household and that sort of information. And so in terms of whether a trained data entry operator, I can't say for sure whether that would help or not, but it's possible.
Thank you.
Other questions? Okay. We've all received a copy of this. It was on OLIS, and you have, you know, quite a few recommendations that you summarized, but on the, I think it was the second page, so probably I'm on page 11. There was one comment that you made that was talking about one review of one system focused on the automated system processes designed for accuracy process of Medicaid applications and determine Medicaid eligibility. Was this really identifying, you know, the condition of the system being used and that they could actually, you know, have a better or more updated system and have fewer problems? Was this more about the system versus the actual manipulating of the system?
So, Co-Chair McLean, it was, I'm not sure I completely understand the question, but the one system is a new system, and one of the main reasons we wanted to review it is to help support the financial auditors to say, does the system, based on this information, perform these essentially determinations, these automated determinations properly? That's sort of aside from the manual input errors, but that was part of our review in looking at especially the detailed items. So in terms of the automated processes built into the one system from our review, it showed that it's doing those appropriately. But of course, it depends on accurate input, which is a manual process and not an automated process.
That answered the question. Just basically, if there was something you found in the system that was left out of the program, or, you know, it just simply wasn't doing the job, even if the input had been accurate.
Co-Chair McLean, yes. And this isn't to say our audit reviewed whether the one system does everything that OHA wants it to do, but in terms of the scope of what we were looking at, does it determine this Medicaid eligibility based on this modified adjusted gross income? It does that job.
Okay. Thank you very much. Other comments or questions? Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And we'll review what you've told us and think about some more about how your report could help us make some improvements and help folks in the future. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. At this point, the second item on our agenda, so I'll close the informational hearing on this audit and open a committee discussion on responses for the Department of Administrative Services regarding equal pay in the Oregon state government. And we received a letter from DAS, and I believe we've got folks here. Would you like to come up and address your letter, or was this? Okay. So what we have here is basically a response that we, you know, have had an opportunity hopefully to read. Is there any discussion or any comments or questions that you might have or want to share in a discussion today? And this was June 7th, 2017. And it was the Chief Human Resource Officer that sent this to us. I believe it is here today. We had asked some specific questions, and if there's anything that you wanted to address on it, example was what percentage of state employees are at the top step, and she's given us an answer on that with data. And so if there's anybody that has any further questions that that we can get addressed today, that would be great. And if not, I know we have other meetings that we can attend. So I appreciate the comments that you brought. They were very directly answered, and I thank you for that. And we have co-chair Devlin, who was unable to attend today, and so we told him we wouldn't do too much without him being here, and also we wouldn't vote on anything. So this is just to give us an opportunity to get on the record the presentation about the audit on the Oregon Health Authority Automated Medicaid Eligibility Report, and then also to acknowledge the letter that we received back with questions that we had asked. So I want to thank you. Anything else for the good of the order?
No, I agree. This is really well answered, and I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
So thank you for all of you that attended today, and I appreciate you being here. And so I'm going to close the Joint Committee on Legislative Audits for June 13th, 2017. Thank you.
Congrats.
2017. Thank you.
Congrats.
It's for June 13th.